Part 6D. Interview. Laura Hedgecock, telling and sharing the stories of your life. Laura Hedgecock is a freelance writer, blogger, and the author of Memories of Me, a complete guide to telling and sharing the stories of your life. In addition to her memory sharing blog at treasurechestofmemories.com, Ms. Hedgecock is a co-founder and contributing blogger at theroadlesswritten.com and frequently guest posts at other sites. When she's not writing, she enjoys spending time with her husband and two sons and her Springer Spaniel, playing soccer, nature photography, and finding her roots, which might explain her messy house. I include Laura today because of her wonderful blogs and to share a nonfiction view of writing. Justin Sloan. Laura, thank you for sharing your work with us via theroadlesswritten.com blog and in this interview. You recently published your first book titled Memories of Me, a complete guide to telling and sharing the stories of your life. The idea of helping people to capture and write about their memories sounds wonderful, and I enjoyed your touching introduction. My grandfather wrote his memories to share with the family, and reading what he had been through changed my life. Everyone should read your book to get the full story, but would you care to share some of that with us here? Laura Hedgecock. Memories of Me guides writers of all experience levels, enabling them to create a legacy of stories and memory episodes. Rather than a how to write a memoir book, it's a memory compiler's companion. It introduces topics, sparks recall and creativity with in-depth brainstorming exercises and various writing samples, and provides just enough writing tips for writers to take pride in their projects. My grandmother was the inspiration for Memories of Me. She left us a spiral notebook filled with a lifetime of writings, which she called her treasure chest of memories. Memories of Me taps into my grandmother's ideas as well as her passion of connecting with loved ones through memory narratives. J.S., can you tell me more about the origins of your blog, treasurechestofmemories.com? Where did the motivation for this come from? L.H., the motivation for blogging content germane to my book came from a need to develop a platform, something that has become an absolute necessity for non-celebrity how-to authors. Treasure Chest of Memories was the metaphor that I used to develop my guide, so it seemed a natural fit for my website. Writers decide what kind of chest they want to create, what treasures they want to put in their chest, as well as how, when, and to what extent they want to share its contents. J.S., did you know at the time that you were going to write a whole book? L.H., actually, my completed manuscript led to my website and blog, not vice versa. Rather than a true author or book site, treasurechestofmemories.com addresses the same market niche as my book does. It offers tips and resources for those wanting to preserve and share episodes of their past. J.S., I see you write quite a lot about writing and the craft of writing. What would be your advice for aspiring writers looking to improve their craft? MFAs? Books on writing? In addition to yours and mine, of course. L.H., I should note that my book and website are not intended only for professional writers. Thus, most of the advice comes from an I can do it, you can too perspective, rather than from a teacher-to-student standpoint. But maybe that's the best way for authors to support each other. We can share our journeys and explain what helped us most, without implying our way is the best or only way. Other writers can adapt these tactics and strategies that resonate with them. To your point of resources, my top three favorite resources on writing and style are William Strunk and E.B. White, The Elements of Style. William Kinzer, On Writing Well, 30th Anniversary Edition. William Kinzer, Writing About Your Life, Marlowe. J.S., now that you have a book out there, what is the biggest struggle? L.H., I have a business background, so I actually like some of the book marketing. The biggest struggle for me is balancing my time and energy between marketing tactics and creating something new. J.S., Having met through the San Francisco Writers' Conference, I am curious to know what you enjoyed about the conference and what you would recommend aspiring writers do to prepare. LH. The San Francisco Writers' Conference, SFWC, is justifiably popular because of the access it offers aspiring authors to agents and publishers. However, it offers much more than that. The SFWC also offers access to experts. For instance, Stephanie Chandler helped me brainstorm what my website would look like, and Michael Larson encouraged me to look at smaller publishing houses. And meeting a network with other authors can also be tremendously helpful. I think preparing yourself to go with an open mind might be the best advice I can offer. Absorb everything you can. I went with what I thought was a polished proposal with the intention of landing an agent. While I was there, I figured out that I didn't have it all figured out, but I also went home with great ideas and inspiration. J.S. Having gone with a small press, what would you advise for authors considering small press versus self-publishing? Or would you advise that they hold out for an agent in one of the big six? L.H. I would advise writers to separate their own goals from what works best for their book as they take a long, realistic look at their genre, platform, and the publishing landscape. Obviously, you have to make the same choice for each, but pulling yourself out of the equation can give you a lot of clarity. Taking that metaphor a little further, a writer's choice of publishing options is akin to solving a multivariable equation. Once you've identified the X and the Y, you're closer to your answer. But unlike math, not everyone will come up with the same solution. It's what works best for you in your book. In the prescriptive nonfiction how-to genre, big houses are only an option for those books whose author already possesses a platform. Because my concept was timely, I didn't think it would serve the book well to wait until I'd built enough of a platform to attract an agent or big house. On the other hand, after researching hundreds of publishers, I found a few that I felt were already serving that niche well, worked with first-time authors, and had a reasonable publishing time frame. Luckily, my top choice liked my manuscript. The smaller house was also a good fit for me as an author and as a person. My book had emotional significance to family members, so hitting that published benchmark outweighed potential earnings. Also, having outside expertise appealed to my self-doubting perfectionist side. I didn't want creative control. It was my first book. I was completely overwhelmed with the prospects of choosing editors, cover designers, and proofreaders. Although the business end of marketing a book didn't scare me, I knew I'd need an occasional nudge when it came to promotion. As it turned out, the smaller house, Cedarford Publishing, was the best fit for my goals and the book's future. J.S. Thank you so much for your time, Laura. Before we sign off, do you have any other advice that I may not have asked about? Last-minute words of wisdom. L.H. Yes, I have two words of wisdom. 1. Find a tribe or writer's support group. Other authors are not your competitors in the traditional sense. If readers like a book similar to yours, chances are they'll like yours too. Look for a group of other writers that can encourage you and help you along the way. 2. Keep in mind that there aren't always right or wrong choices as you publish and market your books. It's more of a question of finding the right fit for your talent and your works. As you deliberate, think about what really matters to you. Do you want to maximize income, or do you want help getting your first work to market? Are you willing and able to put in extra time and effort to maintain creative control? Asking yourself hard questions will help you tremendously as you set your goals and find your way.